Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Chaf Beis. We are starting today on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and we're talking today a little bit about Hasagas Gvul. Hasagas Gvul comes up in the Gemara as a result of yesterday's daf. On yesterday's daf, we talked about Yeshua Ben Gamla. Yeshua Ben Gamla was given the accolade of Zarchel HaTov, remember his name, and every time you remember his name, it should be for good. He was the one who set up an education system where you're going to be having a public schooling, meaning that the responsibility of the paying of the school is going to be coming from the public. The Torah says v'limad etem osam, that you have to teach your children. So that means that the ikar mitzvah of Talmud Torah is aval haben, as per the Gemara Kedushin, that it's the father's responsibility to teach his son. But the he darshan the pasuk v'limad etem atem, that you have a responsibility, meaning you, Klal Yisrael, have a responsibility of teaching. And so therefore there was an institutional that there'd be yeshivas throughout. Originally, the yeshiva was first set up in Yerushalayim, but then over the course of time, he realized that the yeshivas need to be everywhere. So kol plach uplach, every community had its own yeshiva, and this was set up by Rav Yeshua Ben Gamla. And this is the discussion the Gemara had yesterday, and while in the course of that discussion, so we mentioned a number of things regarding chinuch, regarding the business of chinuch, if you will, and one of the things that we mentioned is that really there should be no, there are no limitations in terms of competition for chinuch. The Gemara had a discussion yesterday regarding replacing a mechanech with another mechanech. Do we do that? Do we not do that? Let's say the second mechanech is better. And the Gemara's conclusion on that matter, it's a machlokus, but the Rav Dimi Menarda said in yesterday's daf in the Amud Aleph is the kinesel from Tarba Chachma, that when it comes to chinuch, so when there's kinah, when there's jealousy, meaning when there's competition, so Tarba Chachma, so that's going to be a good thing. And so it also led to the Gemara's discussion yesterday about opening up a yeshiva where there's already a yeshiva there. Is that okay? So again, Kipshuto, the Gemara says it's fine. That would be acceptable. And then it led the Gemara to discuss other areas of Hasagas Gvul. And so we are in the middle of the Gemara's discussion regarding Hasagas Gvul. So a statement was made by Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that if I have a millstone opened up in one mavui, I can prevent another person from opening up a similar shop in the same mavui. That is a statement made by Rav Huna. If you want to see the statement of Rav Huna, he's on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. It's about a third of the way down. We're going to start a little bit lower, but just to show you where the statement of Rav Huna was, I'm Rav Huna. First word in the line is who? I'm Rav Huna. I bar mavua duki rechay. If you have a person in the mavu who opened up a millstone, va'asa bar mavua chavre ve'kamoki gabe dino hu de'ma'aki v'lave. So the person who already has an established rechayim, an established millstone, means he takes money in order to grind wheat for other people. So he already has an established millstone in the mavui, so he can prevent other people from opening up shop over there in that mavui. Because his claim is very simple. You're preventing me from a livelihood. This is how I earn my living. So you can't just simply come in, open up over here, and take away my business. Okay, so that is a statement by Rav Huna. Now we're going to drop down. We started this yesterday. We're going to go back and repeat again. So we're going to suggest that it's a Tanai. It's a Machlokas Tanai. So we are in the Gemara. Right, Tanaihi. Okay, so this is about three quarters of the way down in the Gemara. The first word is Shali, and Tanaihi, the Gemara is going to point out that this statement to Rav Huna is subject to a machlokas Tanaim de Tanya. So we're going to go over the Braisa. This is the last thing we did yesterday. Kofim b'neim avo zed, zeshlo lo shi b'neim lo chai v'lo borsiki, v'lo malamiti nokas v'lo echad mi b'nei bali umnayos. Okay. What you could do is you can, as an association, meaning you are a member of a mavui, and the members of the mavui can agree to one another. In other words, this will be at their association meetings. They'll agree with one another that we already have a tailor, so nobody can rent their house out to another tailor, or to a tanner, or to a malamitinokos. So any profession that we already have in our association, so nobody can rent out their house to somebody who is going to come in and open up a competition in this mavoi. However, according to the Tanakama, what you cannot do is you cannot prevent a shachin from opening up shop. Meaning, if somebody already lives there and he wants to open up competition, so he may do that. He may do so. He lives in that mavoi; he has the right to do so. But what they can agree to is that no one's going to rent out to an outsider to come in to open up a similar shop. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Af L'Shchino Kofehu. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, we can go even one step further. We can even prevent the shachin. Meaning, we could tell the shachin, we already have a person in our community who is in our mavui, just to be a little more specific and a little more accurate. We already have a person in our mavui who's doing this profession, and you can't open up shop, you can't go into competition against him. That's his livelihood, you take from his livelihood. So now, as Rashi pointed out, I read the Rashi yesterday, so now Rav Huna is going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Meaning Rav Huna says that once you open up an mavui, so we can prevent anybody else, including a member of the mavui, from opening up within this mavui. So Rav Huna is going to be going like Rav Shimon and Gamliel. Okay. With that state, we're continuing in the Gemara and Chafal from Midbeis. About 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. I'm Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Pshitali. So Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, parenthetically, not to be confused with Rav Huna, as we'll see in just a moment, this Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua is going to be siding fundamentally with the Chachamim of the Brisa we just read. So it's a different Rav Huna. So I'm a Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Pshitali. So he says, this is what I think is obvious to me, and I'll start here. Barmasa Abarmasa Achrita Matzimakev. If you are a member of this city, and somebody else from another city wants to come in and open up shop, so you could say no, you can't do it. Meaning you don't live here, you're not part of our community. You want to open up competition, you may not do that. However, yishayich bekar gadach lo matzim ha'akev. However, if he's paying taxes in this city, okay. In other words, so I don't know. Let's say he does own a home in the city, even though he doesn't currently live here. Whatever the case is. If he's paying taxes in the city, so now because he's paying taxes in the city, so now he does have a right to open up shop, and under those circumstances he can. But if he's an outsider where he doesn't live here and he doesn't pay taxes over here, so he has no financial shaykhus to the city. So Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua says, you could for sure prevent him from opening up shop over here. He says that, and I think is obvious. And bar mavua denav shelo matzim ma'akev. And if it's people living in the same mavui, so you cannot be ma'akev. Meaning, if another member of the mavui wants to open up a shop, which is going in direct competition with another member of the mavui of the same mavui, so for sure he's allowed to do that. And as Rashi points out, and as I warned you, this was going to happen. He's not going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. He's going like the chachamim of the previous brisa. So in other words, as long as you're living in this mavui, so you can open up shop, even though it's going to be going into direct competition against another person. So Bar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. So with those two positions, he feels his pashut is simply laid out. So now here's the question where I do not know, and that is Bar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Bar Mavua Achrin Amai. Well, can I do the following? I'm right now opened up shop in this mavui, and there's a person who's living in the same town but in a different mavui, and he wants to open up shop not in his own mavui but in my mavui. So can I prevent him from doing so? So again, somebody from an outside town, I could for sure say no. Somebody from the same mavui, I also for sure cannot say no. Somebody who is in a different mavui but basically in the same town but in a different mavui, can I stop him from opening up in my mavui? So take on this point, Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua says, I don't know. This is the middle ground of the Shitas Chachamim, where I do not know. I'm Rav Yosef.
Is he paying taxes?
The Gemara doesn't say. Oh, okay, very good. Right? In other words, right, if you're living somewhere else and you're paying taxes, you can come in. But that's a very good point. What it sounds like is that for the person who doesn't live here but is paying taxes over, he can open up over here, but not in your mavui. Meaning he can open up somewhere else in the town, but he can't open up in your mavui. Over here, he's living in your town. So now can he open up in your mavui? Okay. I'm Rav Yosef Umodi Rav Huna ben Mikra Didar Dikid Lamati Ma'akev. So Rav Yosef says, here's why I think Rav Huna will agree. That if it's a school teacher, Lamati Ma'akev, you can't prevent him from opening up shop over there, Damar Mar. Now we're going to skip the parentheses. Go to the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Amar Mar get itself from Jabba Chachma. So, like the Gemara said yesterday, the Gemara is now repeating in today's daf as well. Is that as far as yeshivas are concerned and chinuch is concerned, so the more the better, and it'll be a qualitative improvement on the learning, and so there is not going to be any Hasagas Gvul issues when talking about tutors, teachers, whatever. Malamdi Tinokas. Am Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amoda Rav Huna Brei Dev Yeshua Berochlin Amachzirin Ba'ayaros. Now, Rav Nachman says, as far as Rav Huna Brei Dev Yeshua, now remember, Rav Huna Brei Dev Yeshua fundamentally agrees with the Chachamim, which is that there is an allowance of somebody opening up, but only if he lives in town. In the same Mavui, for sure. In a different mavui, questionable, but if he lives in the same town, he can open up shop. If he's an outsider, he for sure cannot open up shop, with the exception of if he pays taxes here. But if he's an outsider, he cannot open up shop. So now, within the sheet of Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, but I think he will concede the following. He will concede on the following, and that is, if you have peddlers who are coming and selling perfume, the makeup, whatever, women's accessories, so nobody can stop them from selling. And the Gemara says, and this is a institution that goes way back. It goes back to Ezra. Ezra, when he came into to rebuild by Sheni and Eretz Yisrael, so he had a number of takanas. The Gemara Baba Kama went through the 10 takanas of Ezra, and one of them was Ezra Tikkun Lishoshi Roch Lamachzirin Ba'yaros Kadeshu Tachshitin Mitzrin Livnos Yisrael, so that the women would look beautiful. So what he allowed is the Rochlim to come into town, even though they don't live here, and even though they may be going against competition that's local, but Ezra gave the allowance for Rochlim to come in on a temporary basis, and the Gemara point is going to make that point very clear in just a second. On a temporary basis, they can come in order to sell their wares, and this is part of Takanas Ezra. I noted back in the Gemara Baba Kama, it's pretty clear that Ezra, through a number of his takanas, I'm not going to go through them all right now, but through a number of his takanas, so one of his objectives, clear objectives, is that there should be a larger population amongst the Jewish people. So basically, he wanted more peruvu. He wanted the wives to be with their husbands, so they would have more children. Remember, I'm giving a somewhat of a historical explanation, but based on Tanakh, remember there was only a small number of people that came back to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra, right? 42,000 is the number that the Navi gives us. So it was tiny. So understandably, Ezra wanted there to be more Jews living in Israel, so a number of his takanas pointed in that direction. So anyway, so this is one of them, that a Rochel can come into town, and even though he's going to be in competition with the locals, but he has every right to do so. Now, the Hani Mili, back to the Gemara, Hani Mili La Dure. Now that's only if he's passing through town of Alak Vuilo. But if he's Kovik, he cannot set up a permanent shop in town in order to sell perfume and the like. He can only do it on a temporary basis, only while passing through. La Rochel, meaning a peddler.
Is that if anybody else was selling at the time?
The point is, even if somebody else were selling at the time.
If nobody else was selling, is this restriction still there?
I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. V'itzor ben Rabbanan hu afilu akvui nami. So the Gemara says, now, if you're a Talmid Chacham, so you can go one step further, and that is that not only can you sell, not only can you peddle, but you can actually even set up shop over here, and you can sell on a more permanent level. Ki ha derav asharile l'rav Yosha l'rav Ovadia l'akvui de lo keil chasa. So the Rava allowed Rav Yoshi and Rav Avadia to not only peddle, but also to be koveh, to set up shop over here, and the lo kehil chasa. It's very interesting language the Gemara uses, and it's not the halacha, meaning it is the halacha, meaning that fundamentally really shouldn't be allowed, because basically you're allowing an outsider to come in and to run direct competition against the locals. So fundamentally it's not allowed, but here it's an exception, it's an exemption. So when the Gemara uses the word lo hikahilchas over here, it means it runs against the general principles of a Sagat school, where an outsider cannot come in and compete against the locals. So my time, I came into Rabbanan, and I was a little to make your Kesayu. Since the Tamid Chachamim, so therefore there is a certain courtesy extended to them in order for them to be able to do business on a somewhat easier basis, meaning that they don't just have to peddle, but they can set up shop and, you know, earn a more consistent livelihood so that they'll have more time for learning. So the Gemara says, so for that, even though generally speaking we don't want outsiders to come in and set up competition, but under these circumstances, the Gemara says it would be an exemption is given. Okay, a couple stories that takes us to the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Hanu Dikolai Daiso Dikla Labavo. So there were people who were selling, Rashi says either they were selling baskets or they were selling yaros, they were selling pots, either way. And they were coming through town, and they were basically passing through in order to sell their wares. So also b'nei masa kamakve ilave. So the members of the city said, "No, what are you doing?" In other words, we already have people here in our own town that are selling baskets or selling pots. And what are you doing? You're coming through and now you want to sell and peddle as you go through? You're going into competition against the locals. You can't do that. Also coming to Ravina. So they go to Ravina. Amar lahumi, amar asu, amar lizmanu. So Ravina says, it's fine. Now, the language Ravina uses is that they're coming in from the world and they're selling to the world. What does that mean exactly? So I turn to Rashi. La'ama lizbanu, Rashi writes, Yuma deshuka hava. So this was a market day. And as a result of that, v'harbe bami makam achalik nos menashok. So as much as there was, as much as they were outsiders who were selling, but they were also selling to other outsiders as well. Meaning that because it was a big market day, it was like a fair, and people came in from everywhere. So therefore, under these circumstances, they had the right to sell. Finishing up Rashi, Lefichach ein b'nei er makvin gam al ha-mochrim lahavim nasam v'limkor l'nik batzim l'shuk. So therefore, they're allowed to sell, and because they're allowed to sell to the outsiders, so the locals who want to come and buy as well, so they have the right to buy as well. So Ravina gave, in this scenario, a permit for them to sell, being that it was a market day. However, now following through with this idea, back to the Gemara, v'hani mile b'yom deshuka. But of course, this permit is only allowed for the market day, where you have outsiders who are coming and buying. Avabaloyom deshuka lo. But if it's not a market day, so that means that the only people now who are buying are locals. So now you're going against the local competition, selling only to the locals. So now they are no longer have a permit to do so. Uv'yom deshuka namil. And even on the market day, the permit only allows them to sell only in the market. But what they're not allowed to do, even on market day, is peddle around the town and go around town and selling over there. Their license to sell is only on market day and only in the market. Hanu Amarai Daisu Amara Lefum Nahara. There are people selling wool. And they were outsiders, and they came into the town of Pumnahara. And again, the members of the city said, what are you doing? We already have local selling. So now you're coming in, and you're being masik vul. You are going against the locals. You can't do that. Also coming to Rav Kahana. So they go to Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, the members of the city are right. They really do have the right to prevent you from coming in and selling. Amar lei islan ashrai. So they made the following argument, the wool sellers, and that is that when we sold on credit, meaning we were here presumably on market day, meaning on a day where we had a license and permit to sell, and we sold, and we sold on credit. So now, if you chase us out of town now, so we're not going to be able to collect on the people who owe us the money. So what they're asking for basically is an extension on the permit, just with enough time so that they'll have time to collect their account receivables. So, okay, I hear the point, but they're right though. In other words, they were allowed to sell on the market day, and they were allowed to sell on credit. I guess what you could have said, meaning right, if we wanted to push this, or if we really want to limit this, so then maybe the permit would only allow them to sell with cash. Okay.
Your
debts. No, right. No, I understand that. Right. That's so they were asking basically now for an extension for them to be able to collect. So on that note, Rav Kahana said, fine. So Rav Kahana says, okay, I'll allow you to stay here and I'll allow you to continue selling, but only kedei parnasa, only for a livelihood. I'm not sure how exactly that qualify how you quantify that, but shir chayusaychu ad akrisu ashray ditchuvas lisu, until you collect all your debts, and once your debts are collected, so then you're allowed to leave. So basically, he gave them some sort of extension and a permit in order to continue selling until the debts are collected. Okay. Next, Rav Dini minarda icy grogros bisfina. Rav Dini for Narada comes in with figs, dried figs on a boat, and so now he's selling and it's a perishable. And this story is going to take us to the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. Okay, just everyone's got to remember all the players in the story. There are going to be a lot of moving parts to the story, so I'll see if I can keep if I can present this in an orderly fashion. So Rav Dimi comes in selling the figs. Amalei Reish Galusa LaRava Pochazi. So now Reish Galusa says to Rava, I want you to go and check. So if he's a Talmud Chacham, so then you're going to hold up the market for him. Now what does that mean, hold up the market? So Rashi over here explains, it means basically that not only is he going to have a permit to sell, it's going to be better than that. Because he's a Talmud Chacham, so basically we're going to announce in the market that we have the perishables of a Talmud Chacham that's open for sale, meaning Rav Dimi's figs, and so basically we're going to encourage the market to buy from him. So, but only if he's a Talmud Chacham are we going to give him such a courtesy. So Amalei Rava LeRav Adar Bava. Now Rava subcontracts the responsibility. That's interesting, because Reish Galusa clearly deputized Rava to go and check him out. Now how Rava can then subcontract that job out, I'm not sure, but he did. And he gave it to Rav Adar Ba'ava. So he told Rav Adar Ba'ava, I want you to go sniff him out. Now I use the word sniff him out very, very, very deliberately, because that's basically the language the Gemara is about to use. So Rav Adar Ba'ava, poke tahi lei bikankene. Right, using a metaphor over here, right, smell the barrel and make sure that the wine didn't sour and it's not vinegar. Right, the Rashi says the word tahi means that when you are smelling the wine in order to test it out. Right, tahi le bekankene, see the Rashi, harech lo, hayriach lo bekankeno, im yain hu im chometz. See if he's wine or if he is vinegar. Klomar, batkeo behalachos im tamachachem hu im lav. I want you to check him out and see if he's a tamachachem or not a tamachachem. So again, Radim is coming in with his figs. The Reish Galusa tells Rava to check him out. Rava subcontracts Rav Adar Ba'ava and says, you're going to go check him out. And he does so. So now Rav Adar Ba'ava is now meeting up with Rav Dimi in order to see whether or not he's a Talmud Chacham. And so he checks him out and he asks him one question. Now it's a little bit unfair in the following. Sometimes a one question test does not fully test whether or not you know. In other words, you know, it's one question. But he asks him one question. So a question that is extraordinarily technical. In fact, the question is so technical that Rashi and Tosfos themselves disagree in terms of what the actual question is. I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. And then if you want to go more into this, you can see Tosfos. But you have an elephant that swallows a basket, a Egyptian basket, and then he goes through the entire digestive system and comes out the other end. What would be the halacha regarding such a basket? Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Kfifa mitzvah salnat sarim shalarava." So it's a wicker basket. It's made out of willow. So basically, now the basket, let's imagine it's small. I know the elephant is big, which is why the Gemara points to such a large animal. But the animal it consumes the basket. Let's assume it's small. So basically, it's going to go through the entire digestive tract. Whole, okay, and goes through the entire digestive tract and comes out the other end. What's the halacha? What's the question? According to Rashi, the question is as follows. So, mahu michashiv kimeukal vahavele kikli galalim. Do we view the basket now as digested, and basically as it comes out now the other end of the animal, so do we view it as clay galalim? Do we view it as excrement? We know that if you make any kli out of excrement, it's einam mekabel tumah. It's not susceptible to tumah, right? Only kli cheres is, excuse me, earthenware that's going to be subject to tumah. But if I make it out of a material or an organic material such as excrement, so it's not mekabel tumah. So are we now going to say that this basket halachically has now basically gone through the elephant and now has the halachic status of galal, has the halachic status of excrement, and therefore no longer subject to susceptible to tumah? That is the question according to Rashi. Okay, Tosfos says a different pshat. We are right now going to say like Rashi. In the meantime, what was his answer? Rav Dimi's answer? Lo hava biyade. Rav Dimi didn't know. It's okay. It's a tough question, and he didn't know the answer. So Amar le Mar Nihu. So Rava. So now Rav Dimi asks the tester, "Are you Rava?" In other words, what, he didn't know who he was talking to. Now, he assumed that it was Rava because Rava was the Rosh Yeshiva, and he figured that Rava would be the one who was testing. So, now, it wasn't Rava who was testing, it was Rava de Ba'ava, who was deputized by Rava in order to test him. And so, Tafach Le Besandalei, kind of hits him in the foot. Now, I don't fully understand the point of doing so. Rashi writes, he calls Andalaba Makel Derech Schok. But Rashi says it was like kind of like a playful tap, that he tapped him on the foot, meaning Rav Ada tapped Rav Dima on the foot, and it had some sort of connotation of being playful, maybe even a little bit derogatory. Yeah. Okay. So Amalei Bein Didi LaRava Iketuva. He says, look, there's a world of difference between me and Rava, meaning Rava's Rosh Yeshiva. He's the head. And I'm not even close to Rava. But Miu Akarchach Anarabcha, he says, but I'll tell you this, though, I'm your Rebbe, meaning I asked you a question and you didn't know the answer. So as far as our relationship is concerned, so we can say now that I'm your Rebbe and you're the Talmud, and Rava Rabba Derabcha, and Rava's my Rebbe. So right now, Rav is way above where you are right now. So this is what Rav Ada tells Rav Dimi. Okay. Now, get down to business. This entire test was for the allowance of basically allowing him to sell in the market. And not only that, but Nakale Shuka also holding the market for him, meaning announcing to everyone that a Talmid Chacham is coming and everyone should be buying from him. But he didn't pass the test. Admittedly, it was only a one-question test, but he didn't pass it, and so therefore no allowance was given to him, and he was not able to sell within the community. Pasuk Groger is the day. Now remember, he was selling figs; it was a perishable and spoiled. Also coming to Rav Yosef. So now he goes to Rav Yosef, meaning Rav Dimi, and he said, "Can you imagine? Can you believe what happened?" So I'm Amalei Chazimar, my Avduli. What did they do to me? Meaning, I'm a Talmid Chacham. So, Amalei Mandalo Shaya Leunuse de Malka de Edom Lo Nishai Leunosech. To which Rav Yosef says to Rav Dimi, I don't think that it will take long before Hashem is going to take up your cause. Meaning, I agree. I think you were wronged. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took up the cause of Malka de Edom, the king of Edom. King of Edom was mistreated. He was his bones were reduced, and he was not given a proper burial. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu defended his honor. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to defend the honor of Melch Edom, I don't think it will be that long before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to defend your honor as well. And this is what Rav Yosef says to Rav Dimi. Dechziv Kamar Hashem Al Shosha Pishem. Moav took Melech Edom and burned his ashes and basically added it to the mortar and built buildings out of it, but totally disrespected Melech Edom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for that, I'm not going to let that go. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that for Melech Edom, for sure, he's going to defend you. And Nach Nafshei de Rav Ada Ba'ava, and a terrible consequence, and that is Rav Ada Ba'ava dies. Okay. So far, there are a lot of players in the story. So Rav Dimi comes in with the figs, wanting to sell them. Reish Gulusa tells Rava to go test them out. Rava tells Rav Ada Ba'ava to go test them out. Rav Ada Ba'ava tests them out. It fails the test. Rav Ada Ba'ava says, "Look, I'm your Rebbe. Rava's my Rebbe. Meaning, but no, he's going to say no to him." And then when Rav Dimi basically appealed to Rav Yosef says, "You know what? I think you were wronged on this issue." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to defend you. With all these players involved, the Gemara now is going to say that, and as a result of this, Rav Ada Ba'ava died. And now basically what the Gemara is going to basically discuss is who should take responsibility for the death of Rav Ada Ba'ava. If you take a look at Tosos, I know we're almost here yet, but if you take a look at the Tosos, Dibra Maskla Ana Anishte, Tosos writes, "Call Echad Mehemaya Mit Onain Shal Yado Meitz Ravada." Everyone's going to take responsibility in terms of the death of Ravada. Mishum Darmin B'Shabbos Berek Shawel. This and the reason why it says Tosos is it goes back to Gemara and Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "Kol Mish Chaver Nena Shal Yado Ein Machnis Nasa BeMechitzaso Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu." If you're responsible for the onus of somebody else, meaning it wasn't even your sin, but if you have a part in somebody's onish, so you're not going to be allowed into within a certain mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't mean you lose all the mahaba. It means that you're not given a certain clearance in the olam ha'emes. Shenemer gam enosh tzadik lo tov ela rau ksiv lo yigur chara. Okay, so if you have any involvement, so you are not given a certain clearance in the olam ha'emes. So each one of them would. In other words, they all felt guilty. And each one of them is going to be taking a certain amount of responsibility. And now let's go step by step as the Gemara now is going to take us through each person involved in the story, and each one of them is going to say that really I'm responsible. Rav Yosef Amar Ana Anishte. So we start with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, it was me. It's my fault. Why? Da'ana La'atye La'yase. Because I was the one who cursed him, meaning Rav Yosef was the one. When Rav Dimi appealed to Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, "Oh, don't worry, Akash Baruch will take care of it." So I cursed him. Rav Dimi Menardah Amar Nanishte Dafsi Grogros Didi. So Rav Dimi Menardah says, "No, it's all the whole thing's my fault," meaning because I lost the figs and I got so upset. So in other words, and because I was so upset, so therefore he was punished. So I had an involvement in his death. Abai Amar Ani Anishte. Abai says it was my fault. Now, where did Abai come from? Meaning, of all the players in the story, so Abai wasn't there. So where did he come from? So now, in this, in the epilogue over here of the story, so the Gemara now is going to tell us, going to give us another detail in which Abai also had a little bit of ill will towards Rav Ada Bar Ava. So Abai Amar Nishte Da Amar Lahu La Rabbanan, because Rav Ada Bar Ava used to tell the rabbis the following: Adi Me Garmisu Garmi Be Abaye. Before chewing on the bones of Abaye, you'll see what that means in just a moment. I'm just giving a literal translation. So Su Achlu Bisra Shmena Be Rava. I want you to eat the fatty meat of Rava. Now, obviously, he said this Bederech Mashal. Meaning, what Rav Ada Bar Ava meant is that you're learning by Abaye, it's tough. There's basically no meat over there. Mm-hmm. And also, we'll add, the halacha doesn't fall like Abaye under most circumstances. So, don't spend time learning the yeshiva of Abaye, but rather, spend time learning the yeshiva Rava. It's meatier. The halacha falls like him. And so Rav Ada Bar Ava was a constant proponent of learning by Rava, not by Abaye. So, unbeknownst to us, Abaye also had ill will towards Rav Ada Bar Ava, and so therefore Abaye is now taking some of the blame of the death of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rava Amar Ana Nishte. Rava says, "All this is my fault." Because on one occasion, I went to the butcher in order to buy some meat. And Rav Ada Bar Ava was there in the butcher, and he said, "You know, I should get served before the attendant of Rava. Da Ana Adif Nemine, because I am better than him." Okay, so I assume he meant that as a shliach of Rava. I don't think he would be saying that about Rava. But anyway, but he said that, meaning Rav Ada Bar Ava said that. Apparently, somehow that word got back to Rava that that's what he said. That's what Rav Ada Bar Ava said. So Rava also had ill will towards Rav Ada Bar Ava. And again, the same basic idea. Now Rava feels bad. He feels that he had a play in the matter. He had a part in the matter. Rav Nachma Yitzchak Amar Ana Nishte. So Rav Nachma Yitzchak says it's as a result of me that he was punished. And again, where did he come up in the story? So the Gemara now is going to tell us that he also had ill will towards Rav Ada Bar Ava for the following reason. Rav Ada Bar Ava has a long list of people who were not so happy with him. So Rav Nachma Yitzchak Amar Ana Nishte to Rav Nachma Yitzchak Resh Kala Hava. So Rav Nachma Yitzchak was the Resh Kala. Now, normally the Kala is before Yontif, before Sukkot, before Pesach, so they would have a big assembly, and the Rav would say the halachos, meaning we have what's called Shabbos Agadol, and we have Shabbos Shuvah, where basically the Rav is getting up there and he Now it's more mussar, but in the, you know, back in the good old days, and I mean the good old days, meaning Bizmana Gemara, so Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos Sukkos, and you know, 30 days before Yontif, so they speak out Halachas Yontif. The Rashi over here says that this Kala was on a weekly basis. Rashi writes over here in our Gemara, Reish Kala Dorish Barabim B'Shabbosos. So Rashi says over here that we're talking about basically the weekly drasha. So either way, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Reish Kala Hava. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak was the one who was saying the shir on a weekly basis. And Kol Yuma Mikama Deneil Lakala Merai Bahadei Rav Adar Bar Abba Lishmaite Vahadar Ayom. So, but before he would say it to the public, so he would first test out the shir in front of Rav Adar Bar Abba, and Rav Adar Bar Abba, who, as we all know, was the Talmid Chacham, and even though he didn't pass the test, so I'm sorry, it was Rav Dima didn't pass the test. So Rav Adar Bar Abba was the one who chazed the shir together with Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and then only after he chazed the shir, then and only then did Rav Nachman Yitzchak say the shir over to the people. Sorry, l'shamay v'hadar ayla kala. How yuma nakti Rav Papa Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua la Rav Adar Bar Abba. So there was one day where Rav Adar Bar Abba, who usually chazered the shir with Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so he came late to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and he was held back. Why? He was held back by Rav Papa and Rav Huna, who, why they held them back? So the Gemara gives us more details. Rav Adar Bar Abba, Mishum Delava B'Siyumai. They were not by the Siyum. So what Siyum? So Rashi over here offers a couple of Pshatim. In the second Pshat of Rashi, Yesh Omrim, I'm reading the second Pshat of Rashi, Delohava B'Siyuma Depirka Derava Dedarish B'Shabbos Arega Hilchos Ha'amuros Beperik Acharon Shel Becharos. They were learning Masechta Becharos. They were learning the last Perik of Masechta Becharos. And you'll see why Rashi knows that in just a moment as we go through the Gemara. So basically, he was making a siyum on Masechta Becharos, and they weren't there at the time. And Rav Adar Bar Abba presumably was there. Amule, they say to him, Eimalan Hanishmaita to the Maisa Behema, Hechamrinu. Let's hear over some of the halachas of Maisa Behema. Okay, right, we will get through Masechta Becharos soon enough in the Daf Yomi. So we'll see that the last parak of Becharos deals with the halachas of Maisa Behema. So that's what led Rashi to the conclusion that what they were being Messiah was Masechta Becharos. And in that Siyum, so they missed it, meaning these, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, missed it. And so they basically held Rav Adar Bar Abba back so that they can hear over shir. In the meantime, though, Rav Adar Bar Abba had a date with Rav Nachman Yitzchak to chazer the shir so that Rav Nachman Yitzchak can say over the shir to the public. And so, I'm sorry, Hanishmaita Demaisa Behema, Hecham Misa Rava. By the way, Rava was the one saying the shir in Becharos. So Amalu, Acham Rava, Vahacham Rava. And so now, a discourse between Rav Adar Bar Abba and Rav Papa and Rav Huna over the last sugyas of Masechta Becharos, as said over by Rava. In the meantime, however, he was supposed to be meeting with Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Adahachi Nagalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak. The hour got late for Rav Nachman Yitzchak because Rav Nachman Yitzchak would first chazer the shir over with Rav Adar Bar Abba and then go out to the public and announce and then say over the shir to the public. But he felt uncomfortable doing so without first chazering over the shir. Skip the parentheses. Amalei Rabbanan Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kum Denagalan. So now the Talmidim were ready to hear shir from Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and they basically turned to Rav Nachman Yitzchak and they said, look, the hour's getting late, meaning it's time that you have to say shir. But he felt uncomfortable saying shir because he didn't chazer the shir over with Rav Adar Bar Abba. So Lama Yasiv Mar, and they basically said to him, like, Rebbe, why are you sitting down? Meaning, you know it's time to say shir. So Amalehu Yasivna V'kamintere Le'arse Rav Adar Bar Abba. So he says in a somewhat sarcastic, maybe even defeated manner, he said, I'm waiting for the coffin of Rav Adar Bar Abba. Meaning, I can't imagine why Rav Adar Bar Abba is late. The only excuse I can think of is that he's dead. And when the coffin of Rav Adar Bar Abba comes over here, so that and when I see it, so then afterwards I'll say over shir. But in other words, obviously he was frustrated that Rav Adar Bar Abba, who normally comes and chazes over the shir with him, was not there, and that's what he said. And as we've seen time and again throughout the Gemara, so when you say something, there's a significance to that which you say, and you can't just say things flippantly. And the Gemara introduces us to this idea a number of times. And at that point, so it was understood, it was heard, a voice went out that Rav Ada Ba'ava died. So, a lot of suspects in terms of who was most involved, who had a contributing influence on the death of Rav Ada Ba'ava. The Gemara, after all said and done, says, "Mistabeder of Nachma Yitzchak Anshe." And the Gemara says, I think, of all the suspects that we have over here in the death of Rav Ada Ba'ava, like this is like the ultimate game of Clue, the Gemara says that Rav Nachma Yitzchak, who made that statement, that declarative statement of, "I'm waiting for the coffin of Rav Ada Ba'ava," so he had the most involvement. We're on the bottom of Chavetzaman Aleph. We start now the next Mishnah. We are back to discussing neighboring walls. The big topic of the first and second paragraph of Baba Basra has to do with the neighboring walls. So the Mishnah reads as follows. Mishai, kolo samach lo kosel chaver. Let's say your wall is next to the wall of your friend. Lo yismach lo kosel acher. You can't put up another wall, alayim kein, irchik mimeno arba amos, unless it's at a distance of 4 amos. The sentence really doesn't read well. It's hard to understand the Mishnah at its face value. Stay tuned. The first discussion we're going to have in the Gemara is basically a clarification of that first line of the Mishnah. Hachalonos bein milamalam bein milamatam bein kenegdam arba amos. Sorry, when it comes to windows, whether above or below, or whether opposite, it's got to be set off at a distance of 4 amos. Rashi over here talking about the chalonos. Rashi, as far as the first line of the Mishnah is concerned, says basically wait till the Gemara. When we get to the Gemara, we're going to explain that first line of the Mishnah. As it relates to the Gemara, Rashi does explain, and Rashi writes as follows. Misha yolo chalonos psuchim lechatzer chavero v'huchzeh b'dav zeh shal shanim. So, let's say you have a window facing your neighbor's property, and it's been this way from 3 years. And like we're going to be saying time and again, 3 years creates a certain type of chazaka. Okay, now there really are multiple types of chazaka, meaning there's a chazaka in terms of ownership. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about a chazaka really in terms of tashmish, in terms of usage. And we've already spoke about this idea earlier in the Masechta, that after 3 years, once you have set a course of action in terms of how things are used, so then you can continue such a usage. Uba bala chaser liv no sham kosel. And now, after having had a window in a certain place for 3 years, your friend now wants to build a wall. Your neighbor wants to build a wall. So it's So what he has to do is he has to leave 4 amos of space between his wall and the window, otherwise he's going to block off your light. And as we've discussed already, and we're going to discuss now again, you can't do that. Bein malamala next Rashi im bal agbia yagbia kosel dal amos mina chalonos bein malamata im bal vnoso namuch sarach lahashpilo mina chalonos dal amos. And it's got to be higher than 4 amos than your window, lower than 4 amos than your window. All this is going to be explained in the Gemara as well. So they're basically, I mean, we'll see the Gemara, but basically there are a number of issues to take into consideration. Blocking off the sunlight, hezek re'iyah, looking into your neighbor's window. So we're going to be discussing all that as we go through the Gemara. So that's the second case of the Mishnah, the Chalon. So basically in this Mishnah, there are two issues. One is two walls standing side by side, and the second one is the window and building a wall in front of a window. But let's tackle right now the first case of the Mishnah, and it's just hard to read. Meaning it doesn't, the kama heche samach. Meaning, look at the Mishnah. Once again, I'm going to read the Mishnah. I'm going to reread the first part of the Mishnah one more time. Misha yakoso samach lekoso chavero. Your wall is next to your friend's wall. So lo yismoch lo koso acher. Well, don't put up another wall unless it's at a distance of 4 amos. What happened? Meaning clearly something happened to that first wall, so which now you're going to building a second wall, and where was the first wall? And that's the Gemara's question. V'kama echa samach. Well, where was the first wall? So, and if the first wall was within 4 amos of the second wall, why can't you build in the same place? Meaning, simply put, what is going on over here in this Mishnah? Amar Rav Yehuda Achikamar, so Rav Yehuda says, we're going to obviously have to say a pshat in the Mishnah, this is the pshat we're going to say. Haba l'smoch, lo yismoch ela imkein, hirchik mimenu arba amos. If you want to build a wall, meaning, now we're not talking about the second wall, we're talking about basically a wall next to your neighbor's wall. So you must leave a distance of 4 amos. You cannot build a wall, even though it's your property, you cannot build a wall within 4 amos of your neighbor, of your neighboring wall. Now, why should that be? We'll see in just a moment. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you read the Mishnah makes it sound like there was smichas, there was a proximity between one wall and the next wall. So that doesn't really sound like that's what the Mishnah is saying. So Ella Amarava, so Rava says, I'll say pshat like this in the Mishnah. Hachi Kitani. Misha Yakosu Samachokosu Chaver Barachukar Ba'amos. Let's say your wall was within proximity of your neighbor's wall, but even when we say within proximity, we mean by that for amos, v'nafal, and your wall falls down. Lo yismach lo kosel acher, elayim kein hirchik memen odal amos. You have to still maintain that distance of 4 amos. My time, oh, now why should that be? Davsha da'acha ma'alei lahasam. Because the Gemara has the following assumption, and that is that what is going to be a good fortification of a wall? So a sound ground, a firm ground that's next to the wall will provide good fortification for the wall. And basically what you want to do is you want traffic walking on both sides of the wall. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Davsha Dahakam ala Hasam, Masha Dashim Berego, Bein Shnei Haktalim, Tamin Moa Lushnei Haktalim. That if you allow passage between these two walls, 4 amos is, generally speaking, a width of a path, so that would be good for both of the walls. Lahakshokakeos, in order to harden the walls. Yisodos HaKtalim V'lo Yimotu, so that the walls don't topple over. So basically now, in order to assure a strong foundation for both walls, so you must lay down a distance between the two walls in order to allow people to pass. And that, says Rava, is pshat in the Mishnah. So again, let's look back at the Mishnah. Now we'll say pshat, Mishaya Koso, Samach Koso Chavero. Your wall was close to your neighbor's wall, but even then, it was at a 4 amma distance, and it fell down. You have to maintain the 4 amma distance as a way of fortifying both your wall and your neighbor's wall. The Rava says that's pshat. Okay, let's just quickly recap, let's summarize, and we will continue tomorrow. Okay, so today we finished off the Hasagas Gvul Gemaras in terms of opening up competition. Machlokas Tanaim is where we started off this morning. Machlokas Amaraim, Ravuna and Ravuna, two different Ravunas. Ravuna and Ravuna, whether or not we fall like the Chacham, or whether we fall like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, which the Gemara follows fundamentally like the Chachamim. If you're a local, you can open up competition with somebody else. Although Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua was unsure about having somebody from a different Mavui opening up in this Mavui. That was the suffix, that's the area he didn't know. People passing through town, are they allowed to sell? So on market day, the answer is yes, but only on market day and only in the market. Somebody was extended, someone was given an extension, a permit because he wanted to collect his tab. Otherwise, it doesn't sound like you can go beyond market day. And then the Gemara told us a number of stories regarding people who came in passing through town in order to sell. A peddler who's selling women's accessories, jewelry, and perfumes is allowed to do so. That's Mitakanas Ezra. And then the Gemara had a lengthy discussion, a story of regarding Rav Dimi, who wanted to sell perishables while going through town. He was a Talmid Chacham, and he was given a test whether or not they would announce his figs to be sold. He didn't pass the test. They didn't announce it. He was upset. Rav Ada Bar Ava died. And the Gemara went through a lengthy discussion about who was responsible for the death of Rav Ada Bar Ava. We started the Mishnah. We talked about two walls being built within proximity of one another. And we learned together that the ground between them, because once it gets hardened, so by people trampling on it, by people stepping on it, is going to fortify both walls.